welcome to Influential Visions. Here, we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. My name is Nathaniel Schooler, and I am your host today. Nice. Well, it's good to see you, Neil.
Hey, good to see you now.
So anyone watching doesn't know, this is actually Neil, and he's from the Future is a Service. And you spent many years in the tech industry, Neil. And today we're gonna have some interesting conversations around what's been going on at the WEF, the World Economic Forum, right?
Yeah, interesting that was. I must apologise for my attire today. I haven't got changed quick enough out of the Range Rover with the rope and the shovel in the boot.
Oh yeah, that Range Rover thing. Oh, that was bad news, that.
Yeah, so we won't talk about that.
No, we're not talking about the Range Rover problems.
Interesting. I did see Mr. Trump, not in person, but certainly his speech. And do you know what? It was a big advert for the US. Until there was about 3 minutes at the end talking about any type of climate saving initiatives or anything like that, right? And I was nearly bought into the America is great and this is, we're doing this.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, he's successively gone one bam, 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 bam of all the things he's actually done that's actually improved the country, right?
Yeah,
we all know he's a natter. Right.
Well, a lot of people don't like him on my friends list. I mean, I think he did a very good job of utilizing media to get in power. I mean, you know, that's what happened, right? With
the, you know, but Cambridge Analytica thing.
Yeah, well, it hasn't really fully been investigated properly, has it, at the end of the day?
Okay.
And I don't think it ever will. I mean, there's a lot of talk about it at the moment, right? But, you know, we're not here to talk about marketing, yeah? We're here to talk about bigger stuff than that, which is really about tech, yeah? And, you know, marketing's a part of tech, right? We know that, yeah? But data, like, it's all about that data, isn't it? And, I mean, I watched some of these panel discussions, and one particularly caught my eye was I made a little note of the topic. It was called A Future Shaped by a Technology Arms Race, actually. Which is really good, because I know a lot about this stuff as well. And, you know, it was featuring Professor Harari, basically, from Israel, and the CEO of Huawei Technologies. And what was interesting was the host of the panel actually said to the CEO of Huawei, they said, so what do you think about artificial intelligence? Is it a real problem for the human race? And, you know, is it a war kind of thing? And he said, oh, no. Artificial intelligence is just being used in supply chain. And I that was the direct translation, right? And I just started laughing. I was just literally just roll. I was actually shouting. I was laughing so much. I was ROFLing, right? In the terms of acronyms. Yeah.
It's scary though, when you think about, there's a lot of thing, a lot of press about at the moment about a monopoly of technology and breaking it up. And, you know, it's an interesting thing when we talk about the government, we talk about legislation, right? And talk about AI. And the reality is that, no, there shouldn't be a monopoly on technology for any provider to hold all the purse strings. But we're looking to move that way. And it's not very difficult to get around it. And then you look at the other factors involved in that as well. You know, you've got Trump was planting a billion trees or something like that. It's his initiative for climate saving properties, right? Which is like, okay, let's just plant some more trees, right? What about the rest of it? And he mentioned a tiny bit about digital ethics and security and little bits, but he's not distinct enough. And we have a massive problem when we talk about artificial intelligence and the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
And we've got to start. I mean, they've got this summit that they're organizing now to sit down and talk about it and all. But reality, you know, you look at it any particular way, if you replace a job with an artificially intelligent program, I think, in my personal opinion, that one job, that person who does that job, if it's outsourced by AI, you need to then put them into either a different type of employment for your company or equivalent, move upwards or sideways, right?
Yeah.
Not just cast them out and just to, you know, to have all of this automation going on in your enterprise and reaping the profits, but the people that really don't benefit are the people who are going to lose the jobs. And every top vendor CEO can dress it up any which way they want. They will lose the jobs and they will cut back, right?
Yeah.
But the owner should be down to some kind of AI stealth tax for one-to-one employee benefits, right?
Yeah, well, it's a difficult call. I mean, what Trump was saying is that he removed regulations, yeah? So for every new regulation that he's put in, he's released 7 or 8, right? But like removing regulations for small business and business in general isn't really the answer, I don't think. Because if you remove regulation, then yeah, you're not stifling innovation, but then where do you draw the line, right? Like, you know, there's this thing like universal basic income and all that kind of stuff that is a, you know, that's a huge conversation, right? But what was interesting about this particular panel discussion with the Huawei chap and Professor Harari was actually the technology arms race that we're referring to. I mean, what they actually said was, oh, well, it's about chips going into the human brain and blah, 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 and everything else. But actually, it's not, yeah? Because what's happened with social media is and buying habits and data is that data, whomever has that data at their fingertips, has control of actually knowing that person better than they know themselves, better than their families and friends know them. And that's what really interests me, because that's why so many people voted this way, voted that way, yeah? And there's a big investigation, isn't there, into these 3,000 ads that were posted and da-da-da-da-da, right? But the thing is, it doesn't change the fact that if you know someone better than they know themselves, you know exactly what motivates them, you know exactly what words to use to make them to take an action, yeah? And that being used in warfare is already being done, right?
Yeah. Well, we've had it done by, dare I say it, Google's been doing it for decades, right?
Yeah. And
we've just evolved and being, rather than using it as general retail profitability, now it's complete advantage people are using this data to, you know?
Yeah.
Even to a point of voting someone in or not in a very high capacity, you know?
Yeah.
It's quite scary how people can be manipulated by this.
Very much so. But I mean, it's literally just, that's been going on for centuries, right? Like for you know, people have been manipulated by using the right words and et cetera, but it's just become a lot easier. So, but the thing is that then you've got the other side of it, which is like photographic image-based data, yeah? And then you like over in China, like, you know, you can manipulate the population. You can allocate certain soldiers to go and say, no, you can't do that. You can't have a church here. You're not allowed to have a church. You can't go and worship God. You've got to be a Taoist or whatever religion that the Chinese have, right? In many respects. And it's like, that's what worries me. What worries me is what I don't know. It's actually, I'm not going to talk about that and who is specifically, you know, going to be in control of all this, but it worries me a lot, actually.
Yeah, but I mean, the technology's been there for so long now, and unfortunately, us the public don't get educated enough on what we should be, what's been going on. And, you know, just like, I mean, I happen to know there's certain things in your telecommunications infrastructure. If you say certain keywords, the call gets recorded and you get traced, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's been going on. No one really knows that either.
No, but then Neil, that is a good thing. Yeah. If you're a terrorist and you're going to commit a crime, yeah, you need to be like rooted out. Yeah. I mean, so
it's mobile telecoms now, unfortunately, most of it. And that's, look who's been hacked, you know, all right. Front door,
Jeff Bezos,
you know, and on front door of TalkTalk and everything, that all got hacked. I know it's just a website, and but it's a way in, right? And it's to capture that data, you know. And I'm not saying that anyone's selling that data, but I've seen examples that some people have, you know, and it's pretty bad. But talking about technology, you wait until 5G comes down the line, and exponentially, we will all be running all sorts of stuff from our apps. Go, mark my word, it's the year of the apps this year.
Oh, yeah.
We've established infrastructure, established platforms. Now we're going to establish what we're going to do with these platforms and infrastructure with innovative apps. Like, we've seen a plethora of come out over the last year or two, and whether it's for blockchain, whether it's for anything, you know, so much more running now.
Oh, yeah. And the industrial IIoT is just super interesting, right? I mean, the benefits of what we actually have are vast, yeah? But without this ethical play that they need to be creating, which, you know, next year with this summit, which Boris has mentioned, is super exciting, yeah? But
do you think anything will get achieved by that, though?
Well, I don't know. It's all down to people outside of Europe and outside of the USA who need to hold their hands up and say, well, yes, we agree with this, and we're gonna get behind it, and we're gonna you know, actually input some regulation. Yeah, it's an absolutely pointless discussion. Yeah, if we don't get buy-in from the whole world, because what will happen is that disingenuous people will just move to the countries or the continents where they can get away with murder, and then they will do it, right? And then they will control what they want to control and do what they want to do, yeah? And it's a big worry for me. I was on a panel with IBM when I became a futurist back in 2014, I think it was. And we debated, like, with the editor of Wired and some top people at IBM and some various people. We were talking about ethics within AI then, yeah? But, like, actually, you know, nothing's happened. That was nearly 6 years ago, yeah? No, nothing's happened. It's just hot air, yeah?
It's not shiny and new, and it's not upgradable every year, right? It's whatever is in our minds at the moment. And what most people don't realise is there's two sects. There's the people that make a lot of money and the people make very little money. And it's in between. And the reasons, you know, people who make a lot of money have made a lot of money for a long time.
Yeah.
Will continue to do so. And technology won't be any different in the fact that, yeah, we are suckered into a degree of having the best technology we can without understanding why we're doing it half the time, right? While there's some serious, really serious issues that are going by the wayside that not getting focused on, where how technology is superseding an individual going to work. And in 15 years' time, it's going to be chaos, right? Unless we have some real sense to it with some ethics in AI, you know?
Yeah.
Some real, you know, the skills gap in the next 10 to 15 years is going to be so big. You've got, you know, already we've got Uber drivers and delivery guys under threats with the driverless cars and the deliveries, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's one industry where we go, right, okay, so how do we retrain these people to be more, you know, future friendly with tech? They're taxi drivers, right? You know, they're delivery people, right? Their gap between their tech understanding and what they will do for a job in it is so big. There's no cross training. I'd have to think of another industry.
Yes.
All of these other guys now that, all right, you can't get into tech, but we can do this, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree with you. I was talking to, you know, Monique Morrow from ex-Cisco CTO, yeah? She's big into, like, tech for good, as we are, right? Like, tech for good and all that kind of stuff, IEEE and all that sort of business, right? And we did a podcast about this, and she talked about some sort of an HR assistant for people, yeah, on a mass scale, and it should be governmental level. This HR thing, she called it Jobly, is what she called it, yeah. And what that will do is it will go to these people. So, for example, you're going to come up with, say, 50 jobs, yeah, where people they're either losing their jobs because they're being replaced, or no one wants to do the jobs. Okay, so you've got those sorts of things, yeah. But for the people who are getting moved on from those jobs, we need actually to put within society some sort of algorithms within a program, much like the Netflix recommender system and whatever that they use, yeah, but more complex, obviously, where people just fill in their interests, yeah, right? And I put money on the fact that you will be able to work it out. 99.9% accuracy, 5 different career options for each one of these people. You'll be able to give them educational plans for free, educate them, get them mentors and everything, yeah? But is anyone doing anything with it? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of tech in the HR, in the HCM world that is assisting within companies and within platforms, but actually those platforms generally just want ad revenue, right? I mean, and the companies want to keep the people in the company, yeah?
We, you know, until we make it mandatory that job replacements by non-human entities requires a little bit of thought, i.e. the employee that you're replacing, not because he's done a bad job, because he hasn't, right, but because we don't need him to do that job anymore. You know, it's not his fault, right? And the employer's trying to innovate. So they should actually put something back while they're innovating to their staff to ensure that they can continue employment or at least have equative status somewhere else. And that's no different from outsourcing contracts forever. You know, you two pay staff across, as you know, or you make them redundant and compensate them, right? Or do your best, right, to get them the thing. Same with tech, right? But we should make that by law that this is, they're not allowed to just replace people with technology just for the pure benefit of their company. You should not be allowed to just do that without any other alternative plans for your staff.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree completely.
About that, because I'm worried, you know, I mean, 15 years is not that far away, right? And
a long way away, yeah, in the terms of tech. I hate to think with Moore's Law, like what the hell is going to happen like in 2 years, let alone 15 years, yeah? If you think about like supercomputers and how they can crack codes, yeah, and actually who has the supercomputers, and then if you don't restrict access to the supercomputers, yeah, the quantum computers I'm talking about here, right, then you're going to have more threats, more problems than you've ever imagined. And are you telling me the governments don't have those computers already?
What I will say though, mate, is, you know, we might be in for a shocker with tech in the next couple of years. And the reason why I say that is that now we're more aware of our online privacy rights and misuse of our data.
Yeah.
I think you'll find that a lot of siloed tech is going to come back where it's not, there's not going to be times where it's connected. There's not going to be times where, you know, you might see the rise of private clouds on premise again, right? Because you can just put a security wrapper around it. And I've seen some of the biggest vendors, like it was in Poland just before Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you went to Gdansk. No, how do you pronounce it? Gdansk.
That's the one.
It's fantastic, isn't it? Did you take a walk along the seaside there?
You said Gdansk? I thought you were... That was an Australian feeble accent.
Hey, mate. No, we're not getting
there. Yeah, but then I did a couple of presentations there, and then I, alongside someone from Google, was learning about their terraforming product set and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Now that enables tech to be on your premise, right? So you can terraform and replicate the terraform.
Can you explain what terraforming is, please, to people that don't know?
I mean, think sci-fi, right? Mm-hmm. Terraforming. You all watch the Star Trek movies, right?
Yeah.
Search for Spock. Boom, puts that kind of missile down on the planet, explodes and regenerates the planet, right? Mm-hmm. Terraforming, creating.
I get you. So that's used in like security, right? So if something's hacked, then you just replicate it immediately, yeah?
Pretty much it, yeah.
Yeah.
So Google got this quite nice new product set that does this, but also allows you to have it on premise. So, and some of the other vendors like Microsoft do the same, right? Mm-hmm. You know, IBM can do give you the same. I mean, there's a few of them now. And where I think it's being pushed is because all the lines of technology are blurring from edge technology to software-defined wide area networking to pushing out for more I/O in for IoT and devices and device management, right? All being pushed out to the edge. You know, it's not such a big push to push it back again.
Not very much.
Because all the big vendors are multi-collaborating now. So it's not just one vendor that's doing it all for you. But two, it actually becomes cheaper, really, to go on-premise and take one service to wrap around your environment locally.
Interesting.
Bringing back the cloud back to you, and then also have a burst out to the cloud at the same time, right?
So depending on what your compute requirements are, your you know type of storage you need, ease of data flow, all that sort of good stuff, right?
Yeah, well, it's all down to transactions, right? When data, write data, save it, whatever you want to do with it, it's transactional based, right?
Yeah. So
the faster that transaction can happen, the better response for you, the more reliable the whole environment will be, right? So that basically, if you can have that do that really, really quickly, you'd need to near the edge of your network because you've not got one device now, you've got say 10 or 15 personally, each one of you, right? Plus not only that, the whole device management of tech environments that are multinational, right? You know, you need something that's really quick access times. And we're not going to get any slower. Everything's going to go faster and faster and faster.
Yes.
The faster we can do something, the better. And it will just increase. So we've got to have it to the edge. But how quick can it be if you're using it in your own environment? It'd be even faster, right?
That's exactly the point.
You're bringing it back. And then just the text, just there. It's like a relevant evil you've got to have, but it's more local to you and the costs will come right down. And you know, I can see the whole demand for complete environments in the cloud may even go away sometime.
Wow, that's interesting.
So you've got micro data centers now that just
well, data can be stored anywhere, right? And with the Internet of Things, that's going to be super interesting, right? Because I was listening to something the other day about that and like how much data is actually out there and how it's going to just exponentially grow, right? Like into just ridiculous amounts. And 90% of it's probably just going to get thrown away at the end of the day, yeah? I mean, because it's pointless keeping a lot of this data, yeah? So then where is that going to be located? Is it going to be in a car? Is it going to be on a mobile data center that's by a phone, you know, an old phone box, for example, can be a data center. Like a data center can be anywhere, right? Like, or anything, yeah? It's super exciting. Opportunities around this are just massive nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, if you can work together with more people faster, you can brainstorm quicker. You can, it's just, the innovation will just become constant, you know, because we're all more connected. And it's and that's a bit of a cliche, right? But especially when you talk about the web and cloud, but it's true. You see some of the biggest names in tech collaborate last year.
Because you did this webinar for us, didn't you, for VMware, IBM, who else was that involved with that?
Juniper,
that was it. Yeah, that was super cool, very interesting stuff.
You'll find more and more collaboration that way, and it's going to happen, and it's going to pick up more, and it's going to be interesting to see all how the firms, each one of them, differentiate with their message, because they're playing nicely, but they're also competing against them. So we see how that plays out this year.
It's going to be very interesting. I think the opportunity is huge because, you know, we're on a rising market here, yeah? So, you know, like everything that you and I are kind of involved with is growing, yeah? Like cloud storage is growing, yeah? Computing is growing, tech is growing, AI is growing, blockchain, influencer marketing, yeah, all of that stuff, and like mergers and acquisitions. I know you're kind of moving into that, yeah, which is super interesting. So, you know, if anyone's kind of listening to this and you're thinking like, how do I scale my business? you know, what am I going to do to get more clients? Who am I going to sell to? How long is it going to take? Like, you're the kind of guy they need to speak to, right? In that department. Yeah.
Thanks so much. I'll pay you later for that.
But we're going to meet up soon. Yeah. I'm going to go to Oracle Open World in London in 3 weeks or something. And I'll meet you there, and we'll kind of do some cool stuff over there. Yeah. We're not going to be dressed like this when we go to Open World. I shouldn't think.
Oh, I might actually bring my shades,
man. Oh, and I can't take this guy. Look, he's lost his finger, Neil. Look, have you seen it? Look, my friend Eric made me this from a 3D printer. I mean, that is also, that's super interesting as well, right? If you think about 3D printing and you think about localized supply chains, yeah? Because we've gone global, yeah? We've gone to China and we've gone to other countries and we've manufactured all this cool stuff, yeah? But actually, what's going on now is with 3D printing, with all of this stuff, so much more is going to be made in-house. It's going to be made locally. It's going to be made, you know, specifically tailored to those clients, right, and customers. That's super exciting. I see a massive, massive growth in that in the next few years, as I do in, like, coffee shops in town centers, community areas in town centers, yeah? Instead of, like, oh, we must go to the town center to, like, buy our clothes and take them home, it's going to be like, oh, well, we saw that on Instagram and we tried on this T-shirt with a picture of ourselves in VR or AR, right? Like, I see it being quite fun out there. I think it's going to be interesting, yeah?
Yeah, it's good. It's going to be an interesting ride, that's for sure, over the next 12 months. Years, really, but...
Yeah. Yeah. 12 months is going to be good, though. This is going to be fun. We're going to have a lot of good fun the next few months. It's going to be really exciting, I think, actually.
Yeah, I always have fun now.
I know you do. Since you were wearing your leather jacket, yeah, I was like, all right, I'm going to do the Alcatraz kind of look thing that I had going on when I was in California. You know, I tell you what, next Open World... in Las Vegas, we need to make a plan for, like, some sort of vehicle. Like, we're going to need a vehicle, yeah? Because, you know, we were going to do that electric car thing. We didn't do one, right? So...
I bumped into Elvis when I was there last time.
Did you?
And he's available.
Is he?
Yeah, we could hire him and have a...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me and my sister, we ran away from Elvis, man.
Yeah.
But look, I know you've got to go and pick up your lovely kids from school, yeah?
I do, yeah. I'm going to have to run soon.
Yeah, I see it. I see it in your face there, Neil. Like, I wish this guy would be quiet. I've got to go.
I haven't predicted what's going to happen in the future yet.
Well, we don't know, do we? I mean, I think to cut a long story short, I think if the ethics are there, if the governments get behind these new AI-powered, jobly kind of program, which could easily be created, yeah, multilingual, yeah, chatbots included, yeah, it could be super simple, could help all these people who are panicking about AI replacement, yeah, to upskill. But that's the major point from this whole interview, yeah, is complacency and laziness, yeah? And if you're one of these people and you're lazy and you're complacent, yeah, then you're going to be at the end of that job queue, yeah, because you need to just get out there and learn more skills. And I know that the problem is that you might be demotivated by your current career trajectory, and that's the major problem. So you've got to move into something that you find exciting and interesting, and that's the best advice I can give to anyone who's listening to this, yeah?
Yeah. It's hard, really. When I think about my kids, what the hell are they going to do in another 10 years? And
well, they don't. We don't know, do we?
You know, and I can't advise them in tech.
No.
To some degree, because I don't know what skills will be around. But what I will say is that free thought, anything based around free thought that is required, you can't replicate that. And I don't think we ever will, not in our lifetime, right? So... anything that involves free thought as a career, then yeah.
Yeah, or creating a program that actually protects your free thought would be a good idea.
Yeah. or just creating some kind of cloning process. So you can clone a few times, right?
We can have like another 10 Neil Catamals, another 10 Nat Schoolers, and we can... we can go out there, yeah, and run around.
You know, they just want basic stuff like food and water, right? And then I can pimp them out as another version of me globally. Make on that. I put them back in their cage, right? Lock it. It's all right. Everyone's happy, right?
You're a classic, man. You make me laugh. So look, big shout out to everyone that listens to this show. And thanks so much for tuning in. And if you want to get hold of Neil, how do they get hold of you, Neil?
Twitter. I'm always on Twitter, at Neil Cattermole. Contact me, talk to me.
Cool.
Or go to the website, which is Fast Today.
Oh.
Future as a Service Today.
Cool. Yeah, or LinkedIn, obviously. Or you can contact me and I'll quite happily introduce you to Neil. So no problem. So thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. And it's been interesting. And I look
thanks, Neil.
Very soon, right?
Yeah, thanks, Neil. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections too. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thank you.